Well, we'll see what happens. I was going to finish the 15th chapter of Romans today, but we're going to talk about hope. If we don't get past that, then you can just hope we do. How's that? It really is significant if you look up words in the in the original language, you know, in the Greek or the Hebrew, especially in the Hebrew. When you see hope mentioned a lot of times in the Old Testament, it's just another word for trust. Which, how bad is that? Trust God. I mean, that's pretty good. But especially in the New Testament, the concept of hope is an absolute certainty about that which you're hoping for. So it's not a, I wish, hope, a dream. No, it's a confident expectation of the Lord being the Lord, the Lord's word being true. And so that's a totally different deal than I trust, because trust is passive, right? Believing is engaged. It's active. And hope is active because it is fixed on something that hasn't yet taken place in your experience. It's based on hope is for the future. Faith is now, and now the just shall live by faith. But he even ties it. He said, I know what my plans are for you, for a future and a hope. He put those two things together. Future and hope are boundlessly tied together. And I should probably just shut up and pray, and then we'll read the book. But it helps to get that. So, well, you know, gee, I hope we have a good lunch today. Well, you know, that's just a wish. That's just a thing. But, you know, absolute certainty, man, we're going to Luna Azteca because I know when they serve it there, it's good. See, your hope is based on a reality, an expectation of what you have learned to be true. So, Father, thank you for being with us this morning, and thank you that you call yourself the God of hope. That's just amazing. And because you are, we want that little sliver of your character that is hope to infiltrate us, because you want us to be like you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm going to tell you this right up front. I was going to save this for the end. So if this is the end, you can go home. But I don't think it is. So see, hope results in something. I'm going to tell you some things here in just a minute, that hope results in an outlook or an attitude adjustment. Okay? And when you have a confident expectation about... You ever been around somebody that just got engaged? Dangerous people. You know, diamonds are sharp. They'll cut you. Have you seen it? You know, why? Because there's an expectation now. Hope's being fulfilled. Wow, I mean, it's cool. It's great. It's been a while since I did that, but... And I didn't wear the ring. I was in Cracker Barrel one day. And that could have been any day, because I hang out there some. I was in Cracker Barrel, and I was in the center part of it, sitting back close to the window so I could look towards the wall where the fireplace is. And I've been in there before, so it wasn't like, gee. You know? I mean, I get the menu memorized and stuff like that. Kind of do. And I watched. It was a cold day. And I watched this. Let's say that this is the fireplace. Let's say that this is the station where the little girl will ask you how many and do you want a breakfast menu and that kind of stuff. And then they kind of lead you down this path into where the seating is. And not one person didn't do this or this at the fireplace. Not one person. I said, that's about the best marketing tool you could ever have. And then the Lord said, I want you to be like that. Amen. He said, I'm just sitting there waiting for, you know, my eggs to come. And he said, every Christian should be so filled with me that they're carrying that Cracker Barrel fireplace in them so that people want to know what's there. And when you're walking alive with him and him alive with you, there's nothing more welcoming than opening the door and saying, come on in, the fire's nice. And he wants us to be so filled with hope that that's the kind of effect we have on people. It might not be every time that they see you, but there's a time where they will want to be warmed by the fire that's stoked in you. You can't have that when you're hopeless. It doesn't work. It pours water on the wood. Isn't that cool? I was going to use this as a close, but I'm just going to pray it over us right now. Lord, what we would love to have is that ongoing, continuous connection with you that causes what's happening in us to be as welcoming as a warm fire on a cold day. And people want to see it, and they want to feel it, and they want to be close to it. And maybe they can't explain it, but they know that something good is going on in there. And it feels good to them. They feel warm, they feel safe, and they can pause. Lord, we want people to feel that coming from us. We want to carry that in us so that kind of effect can be heaped upon people, and they will want to know the source of the flame. Would you cause that to become real for us, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. I don't work for Cracker Barrel, but next time you go in there on a cold day, check it out. It's magnetic. That's the drawing power of the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. This isn't, I guess it is about evangelism. Hang on a minute. This is very hopeful. You can't come, the Bible says, to the Lord unless you're drawn. Man, what draws like that? I mean, and it's nothing you, well, I gotta put more wood on the fire. No, you just walk around alive with the life of God. You know? And whew, there you go. Fact is, I shouldn't say this, but I will. You ever gone in expecting the fire and they didn't have it stoked that day? That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? We don't want people to get bummed out when they meet us. We want to be alive with the life of God. We want the fire burning. Now listen, not every day is the day where everybody stops and does that. But you know what? They know, oh, there's fire there. I may come back and check that out. We want to have an effect on people because one of the ways God draws people is through you and me. And we could probably be better at this than we might be. If you look at the evangelism numbers, it'd scare you to death. I mean, it really would. I think he wants to have a lot of fireplaces out there that people have to bump into and have to do business with and then get to bump into and get to do business with. And all you get to do is tell your story, right? Okay, Romans chapter 15. I was talking to Matt Bailey last Sunday after church, and he said, man, I really love that, those verses there, just where you stopped. I said, yeah, verse 13, he says, verse 14, I wish you could have spent more time on that. And I said, well, you know, I was running out of time, and that bugged me all week. So I said, okay, I'm going to start there, and if we don't get past that, then that's just life, right? So that's kind of what plugged me in, and then I started going on, and I thought, I get what you're doing. So what I wrote in your outline is, last week we considered ways which the Lord uses the Word of God to build our hope in hearts and give us instruction for our life journey. We will dwell for a bit in Romans 15:13 to capture the fullness of what we find there, and then take a look at the amazing description Paul gives of God's awesome power. So Paul then, verses 13 and 14, he's giving them an exhortation and a blessing, focusing on hope. Verse 13 of Romans 15 says, now may the God of hope, God of hope. We talk about God is love, right? And he is. And God is peace, and he is. But the scriptures say, God is hope. It's only amen. May the God of hope fill you. It's like he was listening to what Josh said. With all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not chewing him out, because look what he says. And concerning you, my brothers, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. So he's not chewing him out like you're dead and empty and should be full of hope. He's exhorting them. It's a blessing. It's a prayer. It's a declaration. May the God of hope, who is the source of hope, the fountain of hope, who has all the hope, fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that hope will abound by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's an awful lot in this. An awful lot in this. Joy, peace, yeah, who doesn't want that? Well, there's some ways of getting it. He says, may the God of hope now fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It comes in believing. There's a joy and peace that come in believing. And oftentimes, if we're lacking joy or peace, it's because we've lost connection with what or whom we're believing in or believing for. Now, faith is never, ever, ever supposed to be divorced from the person whom you're having faith in.
Yes.
Well, I'm having faith for a new car. Well, me too, that's good, but I need to be having faith in God for a new car.
Yeah.
Right? Because I could have faith in my checking account for a new car and just make the payments. If the money's there. Right?
Yeah.
But faith, and there are times when there have been times and movements that caused people to try to have faith, but faith was not, it was divorced from God. It was about the object. You can't have the object of your faith mean more to you than the person of your faith. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yeah.
This will really help you. So I'm trusting God and I'm believing God. You know, and I've glued taped pictures of new cars to my dash saying that's the one I want. I've done all that stuff. If you haven't done that, then you were never immature. But this stuff again, to keep me mindful of the fact that what I'm looking for as coming from Him. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's joy and peace in believing. And so what does the enemy do? He'll just get you off a little bit so you're not actively believing.
Right.
And then you wonder where the joy and peace went.
Yeah.
Am I making sense? So it's engaged, it's connected. What am I believing Him for, and what do I believe about Him? That's why I spent so much time last week in Psalm 119. God is good, and He does good. We had a good song about that today. God is good, and He does good. Teach me Your statutes. Until you know He's really good, and that He really does good to you, there's things you can't learn, because you can't go through the difficulty of learning them because there's not enough peace in you to deal with it. The Lord told me, and this is just true, sometimes you just can't help somebody because you can't hurt them enough to help them. Now, I thought He was telling that about somebody else, but He was telling me about me too. But there's some reality to this. Does God want to hurt you? No. He wants to help you. But sometimes we're not prepared. We're not at that place where our roots are deep enough to learn the truth about me. And so the Lord really helped me, and I hope this helps you. I don't pay much attention to the truth about me anymore. Because 100% of the time, I'm going to be disappointed. I am. I am way less than perfect. I have family members that would stand and testify. But He's perfect. And He longs to make me like Him. So it's pretty stupid for me to try to perfect myself. Anybody ever battle purity, for example? Every man looks down. No. If you're a human being and you're alive on the face of the earth, at some fashion, you've battled purity. Listen, do you know what God deals with in order to make purity? Impurity! If it's already pure, He doesn't have to touch it. Nobody starts out that way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You start out impure. Oh, Lord, purify me. Everybody needs it. It's not like I did. No, you need it to start with. It helped me so much to find out. See, I work with impure to make it pure. Oh, so I'm not off base. No, I said, I don't want you to have to. Sorry you have to deal with people like me. You know, I've told you this 100 times. But He said, people like you is all I got. It's true. Incomplete, imperfect people, not totally pure. He says, well, let your mind think on these things, things that are pure, and let that which is pure purify that which is impure.
That's right?
Right?
Yeah.
See, that's, what's that? That gives you hope, doesn't it? So it's in believing, peace, joy comes in believing. And then he says, and then you get filled with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So hope isn't something that's all just positive attitude. You ever been around somebody that lost their positive attitude for a minute? It's positively not positive. Now, I would say I'm a reasonably positive person, you know, and I'm an optimist to the max. But you know what? I had a lady come up to me one day on the church steps. It's when Kathy and I were in the church in Gower. She came up to me and said, you know what I like about you? And I thought, I'm just glad there is something, you know? And she said, you're never down. And I thought, lady, at that time, we were going through all sorts of stuff. I mean, you would have had to jack me up to bury me. I was down. But it made her feel good that I smiled. And she said, you're never down. And I thought, I just hugged her and I said, I'm so glad that it helps you. I'm so glad. And I was thinking, and I am lying through my teeth. But see, to her, because I didn't carry it publicly, I was never down. She was an older person going through a lot of health issues and that kind of stuff. And I thought, okay then, I'm never going to be down in front of that lady because that's part of her hope. Are you with me? And I don't know how I knew that because I'd only been saved about 3 months at the time. But it's like, got it. I can be a poster boy for that lady to keep her up. What a cool deal. See, when you're believing in him for something or something about him to be true, then hope's real in you. It's cooking. You've got something to give away. Sensible? So he said, I'm praying that God does this. He's the God of all hope. He's the one that's got it all. He's the one that wants to give it all. He said, I'm praying that you get it to the max. But notice, I put in your outline how the fullness of joy and peace come with what you're believing about him. Williams says it this way in his translation. I pray that God will fill you with perfect joy and peace through your continuing faith. Continuing, that means, oh, life stinks right now. Faith continues. Life is awesome. I don't really need anything. Faith continues. Paul says, I've learned to abase, that's bad, and abound, that's good. He did both. And God was his strength and his trust in both of them. So he'd been up here, and he'd been down here. And I think he would tell you on a cloudy day, it's better up here. But God's as real down here as he is there. Right? So, pray that he will fill you with perfect joy and peace through your continuing faith. I love this next one. This is Phillips' translation. So I pray that God will fill you so much that your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. That your whole life and outlook, if you're looking for something to pray and believe in right there, that your whole life and outlook would be radiant with hope. And that's not fake it till you make it. It's believe it because he's been there and already done it. I haven't been there yet and done it, but the one who's done it lives in me. Right? So this is not fake it till you make it. And it's not, I'm going to be Mr. Positive. You'll positively not be liked by people. But it's, you know, I told somebody one day, I walked up to them and I said, you look like you swallowed the sun. And they weren't having a particularly good day. They just were radiant. I love that about somebody. That when your countenance talks about there's a fire in the fireplace, it's radiant. You don't have to go around like that all the time. You know, fact is, a lot of times people just sit and look at a fire and listen to it crackle. Right? That means in the day-to-dayness. Doesn't mean that there's a raging fire or, hey, we're doing marshmallows. Or s'mores, or whatever. But it's that steady, oh, I know if I sit by the fire for 10 minutes, I'll relax and I'll be warmed. Man, we want to be that kind of influence on people. And don't you want that going on in you so you can sit down by the one who's granted the fire and have that happen to you? Yeah, wow. So that it changes your outlook and your attitude because of the kind of hope that's been born or birthed within you. I wrote a couple things down. I really like this one. Now, hope always looks to the future. Hope always looks ahead. And then this next little statement, I jotted that down. I said, that's not for me. Hope is the song of certainty that plays in your head. It broadcasts encouragement to your faith about what is ahead, and it keeps you from being strayed or stopped by the things the world, the flesh, and the devil try to plant in your head. Let me read that to you again. I wrote that down. I said, oh, Lord. Hope is that song of certainty that plays in your head. It broadcasts encouragement to your faith about what is ahead and keeps you from being strayed or stopped by the things the world, the flesh, and the devil try to plant in your head. Enemy doesn't care if you're having a good day or bad day. He's here. He wants to rain on your parade. But if that song's playing in your head, right? I mean, I wrote that down. I could hear it. Hold on, help is on the way. You know, just, okay. That's how it works, because he's a God of hope. And Paul's praying to the God of hope that he would come through. My favorite statement is this, that hope runs out in front of faith and turns around and shouts to faith, don't quit, it's coming. That's what hope does. And hope has learned to run backwards, looking back at faith. Don't quit, keep it, keep coming, it's coming. And if you don't believe that, you'll quit. You'll quit. Why? Because there's too much reason to quit between where you are and where it is. And hope says, uh-uh, it's coming. You keep coming, it's coming. And hope energizes, animates faith to be able to. Why? Because faith is in the now. And faith has to have enough of in the then to keep doing the now, because they got to have a reason to do it now for what's happening then. Are you with me? So you need to be filled with hope, because you need it shouting at you. You need that song continuing to play in your head. Because, listen, hope is geared to the future. Hope is what lies ahead. So the enemy's going to come and put lies in your head so that you'll get disconnected from the future and you'll never connect with what lies ahead. That's strong. So Paul said, I want you overflowing. Overflowing. With hope. God is love. Book says so, right? And he is also the God of hope. So, Romans 8, when his love is poured, Romans 5, 2, is poured abroad in our hearts, it has to be filled with hope, because that's where it comes from. The God of hope is the God of love. And when he pours his love in your heart, it's full of hope. His love is filled with hope. And that's what's been poured in your heart. Romans 5, 5. Hope does not disappoint. Oh, anybody ever been disappointed trying to believe something? Baby. Right? Hope does not disappoint. So what's disappointing you isn't hope. It's the enemy of hope that's disappointing you. Hope does not disappoint. What does disappointment do? The Bible says disappointment makes the heart sick. You ever seen any hopeful people with broken hearts? Not very many. Because see, that's the enemy's game. If I can dislodge hope from you, I'll get you disappointed. You'll have heart-sick soil only in your heart, and the tree of life will not grow there. That's really the truth. So what does the Lord do? He comes and digs all that old cruddy soil out and replenishes it with hope. Because disappointment does make the heart sick. I didn't think it did. I'd gone through some really disappointing stuff. And actually, it was my friend Jim Gall sang a prophetic song over me one day. He says, you know, disappointment makes the heart sick. And then he stopped. He said, even your heart sick. And I said, solo like to me, okay? I mean, I got that drilled in me. This is a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. Because I thought, oh, of course it does. If it makes other people's heart sick, it would mine too. I just thought I was immune, you know. Well, it's just, you can't fix. There's a healthy myopia and there's an unhealthy myopia. And so if you're only locked in on what you can see here, sometimes that's good, you can stay focused. Other times you get run over by a train because you're only seeing what's exactly in front of you. That's not hopeful. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more reasons for hope here. Paul, he speaks to him then and gives him this message of encouragement. Listen, what I believe about you guys, you're doing good. You're filled with good things. You know how to help each other. You've got knowledge. You've got wisdom. I mean, he exhorts him real big in verse 14. And then he mentions his calling and his credentials. And then he explains the result of his calling and his credentials. I'll just read you. This is verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. But I've written very boldly to you on some points, this one about hope, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I have been called as the apostle to the Gentiles, and I want you to know why I'm exhorting you like this and why I believe what's in you is because I'm giving you everything I got because of why the Lord called me. And then what he called me to and what he's done with it. That's what's coming. This is great stuff. Verse 19. I'll go back to verse 17. I'll get there. Verse 17, therefore in Christ Jesus, this is, when I found this the first time, I just said, great, I don't ever have to think anybody's thinking I'm proud or anything. Because I just got to use this verse. Therefore in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. You want to have a good home group or small group or get-together group, sit around and find reasons for boasting in things pertaining to God. Man, bragging on him will do more to help you than you can possibly imagine. You'll start thinking of stories. You'll start thinking of things you forgot. You'll remember verses that popped into your head that talked about the wonder and the glory and the greatness of God. You stick around, do that a little bit. You will have hope. That's really, and Paul says, well, that's kind of my modus operandi because I've discovered I found reasons to brag out loud about things pertaining to him. You know, people are more interested about that than they are you. And that lasts longer. Now, they like you too because they love to hear testimony, because testimony that God did something through you means he could do something through them. Right? And so I told you a story about a guy left the church because I prayed for somebody and the guy healed. And he says, I got a problem with that. And I said, why? He said, because you put your hands on. I showered. You know. He said, no, because if you touch them, then it means you think you're healing them. God's the only healer. Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I gave him some reasonable advice, read from the scriptures, used this verse. He said, no, you were too involved. I said, well, he doesn't think so. See, you got to be careful. That we have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. I dare you to memorize that verse. Man, I love that. I have found reason for bragging on God by things pertaining to who he is and what he's done. And that's just a healthy exercise to do sometime. I mean, it really is. That's a really good thing to do. So I found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Verse 18, 4. I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Now listen, there's a whole lot of stuff that you wouldn't be able to put on YouTube if it's only what Jesus actually did through somebody. I'll just keep going. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. How? In the power of signs and wonders. Whoa. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem, round about as far as Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Wow. Now, that's where the idea of full gospel comes from, because if it doesn't have signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not the full gospel. That's where the concept is from that verse is full gospel. But he's not just talking about it. He said, I've gone everywhere. In fact, you're going to see this in a minute. He said, I've gone everywhere. Now I can come to you guys because there's no place else to go in the region I've been. I've been everywhere. Because I only go where people haven't been before. And he's gone to every region in that area and brought the gospel. And he says, I don't go where anybody else has gone. Or where anybody else, I'll go where people either haven't gone or won't go. I thought, well, that's a pretty good attitude. It's the one the Lord gave him. So he said the fullness of the gospel just wasn't the fact that it was attended to by signs and miracles and wonders. It was also, I filled up the sphere he gave me, even geographically. So it was full in that sense too. I think it means both. You don't have to leave one out. So, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. That verse 19 from the Amplified Version. Even as my preaching has been accompanied with the power of signs and wonders, and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is that starting from Jerusalem as far around as Acrillium, I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing and accomplishing and carrying out the full of the good news of Christ, the Messiah, in its entirety. Wow. The New Living Translation says this, that they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news. Fully presented the good news. 20th century New Testament says it this way, through the power displayed in signs and marvels through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to play with this for just a minute. I don't know if the young guys are in here. Guys, how many of you have been to see a movie with a Marvel character in it? None of them touch this. None of them touch this. Signs and marvels by the power of God. I want you to know what's up there is either animated or illuminated or special effects. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, there are marvels that people will marvel at for the rest of their life. After Superman and Batman and Green Lantern, the light has gone out. Marvels will continue. I've been waiting a week to say that, so. That's why I love this version. By marvels. Why? Because people marveled. They didn't have any choice. How did that? That couldn't. Nobody. That's impossible. It worked. That's marvelous. And can I say this? This is what he did everywhere he went. This is the gospel. This is the kingdom of God. Right? And we've diluted it some. We haven't seen as much of this as we need to see. I think that's why the Lord is wanting to bring balance. Give us what we need of that. Because they were convinced. I just read it. They were convinced because they saw this stuff. Well, they should just need the word of God. Well, Jesus used miracles. Paul used miracles. Why? Because he was working with people who didn't believe. Right? Through the power displayed in signs and marvels, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Weiss says it this way, by the power of attesting miracles and miracles of extraordinary character by the power of the Holy Spirit. Extraordinary character, like you send a handkerchief out and people get healed. Peter walked down the street and shadow hit somebody and somebody got healed. Come on. What's that? That's extraordinary. It's not like your run-of-the-mill miracle, Paul is saying. It's extraordinary. And I told him, start me with the run-of-the-mill miracles. I don't care. So, Paul is saying, this is how I've done it. This is my commission. This is my apostolic label. The Lord has called me to the Gentiles, and he didn't leave me with only what I could say. He left me with things only he could do, but do through me. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? I got to do this. This isn't the only place this is talked about. John chapter 14. Now, I'm going to put you in a phone booth with the Holy Spirit right now. You ever been in a... anybody remember phone booths? They're not real big. And one person in one, two people in one, four people. Put you in there with the Trinity. This is full. But man, I want you to know, I can't already talk. My hope is in this. I want to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. I don't know if he's got my whole heart, but if he does, I believe with my whole heart. And I want to see this happen really bad. This has got to happen. He didn't die for what I'm living. He didn't. There's more to it than this. There's more to it than
yes,
this.
Sir.
This isn't the only thing lacking, but I'm telling you, this is a big part
yeah.
of what I think is lacking. And I'm not disappointed and I'm not angry. I just read it and I go, oh, God.
There's more.
Jesus says, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father's in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority or on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, his own deeds of power. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. How does hope come? It comes from believing. The joy and peace come from believing. Put your eyes on this one. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least these works that I do in my Father's name will convince you. I assure you most solemnly, and I tell you, steadfastly believe in me, and he who does, he himself will be able to do the things I do, and he will even do greater things than these, because I go to the Father. When I tell you the best is yet to come, this is what I'm talking about. When I say I don't think it's over, this is what I'm talking about. When I say there's more, this is at least part of what I'm talking about. Because he's talking to people. He's talking to those 12 guys, one of them whom didn't even like him. And he said, this is your ammo. This, you're going to graduate here pretty soon, and this is what's written under your senior class picture. This is your future. He says, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater than these, because I go to the Father. I had somebody stop me one day and said, in a pastor's meeting, what do you think those greater things are? I said, I got no idea. I'm pulling for the things he did. Straight up. Get me there. Put me in that position. Put me in that intersection of time and timing, with that connection with the power of his anointing, so that those things that he did are happening. And you can get explanations from theologians, high and low. Well, we are doing more things because there's more of us. Oh, yeah, but we're not doing what he did. And that's not exclusively true. There are places and people that where things like this are happening, but it's not universally true. And he's not any, he doesn't play favorites.
That's right.
He doesn't play favorites, does he? So, well, aren't you disappointed that it hasn't happened? How can I be? I'm part of me is curmudgeoning. I want to see this, you know, I'd like to change what I say. I try to be like really real. People say, I heard somebody got healed at your place. And I said, yeah, but we still bury people. I mean, I'm like, we're no special case. But do people get healed here? Yeah, it happens. Yeah. It does. And, you know, you say, yay. But these things, he said, well, that I do, you'll do. Now, how's that going to happen? You know what? If I had that all figured out, I'd be flying around this room. But it says, if I consistently believe in him. Just do me a favor. Just look around. Just look around. See if you can just look around. You know what? Nobody you just looked at has any special right to be able to believe him more than you do.
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right.
No. I don't care who your favorite guy is. I mean, I really don't. Whoever your hero of faith might be, they don't have any capacity to believe and trust in God more than you do. The same Holy Spirit lives in them as lives in you. Now listen, I realize there are one talent brothers and two talent brothers and 10 talent brothers. I kind of get it. And there are different levels of anointing. But the Spirit of God is behind all this.
Yes.
And he lives in each of us.
Yes.
Each of us. All of us, if we know Jesus. I'm going to read that again. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. And I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to my Father. Well, why isn't that happening as full as you want to? I don't know. Is it me? I don't think this little pipsqueak from Iowa can keep the Holy Spirit from doing what he wants to do. He might, if he requires my cooperation, I got to give it to him. But do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trusting in my humanity. I'm trusting in his divinity to make it work. Well, what if you die and it didn't work? What if you die and find out that you were wrong? Then I'll go believing that I was right.
That's right.
And that he meant what he said. And if that's all I got, then I'm cool with that. But I don't expect to do that. How and when's that going to change? Tomorrow. I'm looking for those kind of things to take place. We're seeing some stuff happen. We are. We've had some great stuff happen with people. But is it happening at the level of consistency I'd like to have? No. So I don't define the level of consistency. You just show up and tell the truth. Right? We're telling the truth today. This should lift you. This should give you hope. I mean, that could happen. It can happen. It's supposed to happen. If you open up your Bible, these words are in red. And Jesus said, if you don't trust me, listen, if I'm Jesus and I'm the God of the whole universe and I got this pipsqueak not trusting me, I'm probably not going to say, well, now, Don, buddy, I know you don't trust me, but, you know, I'll buy you a Milky Way or Snickers or whatever it is and you'll feel better. And no, he's saying, then look at what I do. When John the Baptist was in jail and his believers came to him and said, listen, we're wondering if you're really the Messiah or not. And Jesus didn't say, I know John's in jail. He's my buddy. He's my cousin. I'm really sorry. He said, listen, the dead are raised. The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. And the poor have the gospel preached to him. Go back and tell John not to be disappointed in me. That's what he told him. He offered that kind of proof. He didn't just say, well, let me go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the book of Genesis. He didn't do that. He didn't theologically give him proof. He gave him proof in this dimension. Didn't he? Oh, man. So somehow, this thing, we have way more proclamation than we have performance. We have way more declaration than we have demonstration. That's the kind of balance thing. That's what I was talking about first of the year. I think God wants to do something with that. I think, was he just going to do it here? No, but I don't think he wants to leave us out. The fire is stoked in me on this one. I believe he really wants to do that. Why don't I see more? I have asked that question more than once. All I know is this. Stand on what he said. Be believing him for who he is and what he said. This will keep fiery hope burning in you. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Then I'll be disappointed. You know what you said about that. I answered somebody's question like that. I'm going to read this to you before we quit. Because every time you believe in something, there's a chance to be disappointed, right? I think we're all big boys and girls. Anybody believe for something and end up disappointed? Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah. If you're alive and breathing, yeah. If you've ever prayed anything, yes, that's true. I whipped this out this morning. I think the Lord might be in it. I said this, hope is an invitation for heaven to sustain us and carry us, and at the same time, an opportunity to open a door to unfulfilled expectations. Hope has to be birthed by the Holy Spirit and not just by mental energy alone. Holy Spirit motivation must drive hope and not merely human momentum. Hope cannot survive on circumstantial evidence alone. Circumstance does not contain the spiritual nutrients to sustain hope and keep it alive. Only the Spirit and the Word have that capacity. The Lord is the God of hope, so we cannot maintain hope without Him being our source of hope. His wisdom, this is really good, His wisdom sees through the circumstances and is focused on His power and love that are the tracks that hope runs on. And He is the conductor of that train of hope, and it has never been derailed. See, He's really wanting us to believe Him for something. That's why hopelessness is such an enemy, because hopelessness has, it's like Velcroed to fear. They just like that. And man, that kind of breakthrough can't happen. And so I read these verses in John 14 when I haven't had the best day. And I'm thinking, why would the Lord use a jerk water like me? Haven't you ever thought that? Don't you think that about me? I'm saying I thought that about you. And then I see something like this. The Lord said, so you think I should have been more particular to whom I gave the Spirit of God? I said, no, you probably knew what you were doing. Right? Now, what's going to happen when we make this kind of declaration? Well, I know what's going to happen. We get lots of opportunities to pray. Lots of opportunities for the Lord to, to exercise his power. And, well, what if it doesn't always work? You'll have more opportunities then to exercise power. Listen, hope says, listen, don't quit. You haven't seen it all yet. You don't know it all yet. Jeremiah 33:3, and I'll close with this. I used it last week, but I think it's so real. It's in the book. How many of you know if I said, if you turn to Jeremiah 33:3 and I had you read it, I would ask you ahead of time, how many believe this is the Word of God? Well, you'd all say yes, right? If you didn't, you got a bigger problem, and we'll get you afterwards. But Jeremiah 33:3 is in the book. You know what it says? Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So, listen to me now. Yeah. Here's you at wherever level of faith you are. And here's hope standing back here at Jeremiah 33:3 saying, come on! He says, if you call, he'll answer. And he'll show you things you don't know. And if you can hear that and we start receiving some of these things you don't know, you'll find out you can get there from here. And when you get here, you know what? Jeremiah 33:3 is still real. There's still stuff you don't know. And there's still stuff that hope can draw you into. And you can walk into more because of the increase of his kingdom. There is no end. Listen to it. There's no end to his kingdom. He's the God of hope. There's no end to his capacity to fill you with hope. Am I right? He said, these things, golly, I do. These things shall you do, because I go to my Father. That's what he said. So if we could just get Jesus to go to his Father. That's the condition given. Doesn't say you have to speak in tongues. I recommend that you do. It doesn't say, you know, what's the condition is, once I've risen from the dead, the game starts. Once I've risen from the dead, you're all players and you're all on my team and you're all empowered and you've got the equipment that you need. He's called the Spirit of God. Right? He's done it. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father and poured out the Holy Spirit and gave gifts to men. In fact, it's there it says apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He gave fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Part of it is what Jesus did. These things that he did, he wants us to do. I hope you think I sound like I believe it. Because I do. Now, I wish I had the wisdom to impart it at a level where everybody instantly and immediately began to function at that level. All I know is this. He put the Spirit of God in you. The promise is about the Spirit of God in you, not you. Right? How do people get healed? By the power of the Spirit of God. Manifestly present? Corporately present? Or coming out of someone in an impartation or spiritual gift, right? But it's the Spirit of God doing the work. So Jesus said, listen, it's the Father doing it. I didn't do it. He does it, but he does it in me, through me. That's what he's saying. Well, he said, then how are we going to make this work, son? Well, I'll just be in them and we'll do it like you did it. So just like the Father worked through the Son, now the Son works through us, right? It's called abiding. We live in Jesus. Jesus lives in us, right? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you, but do you realize you went into him? You're seated with him in heavenly places. Now, well, I've heard that a million times. Boy, it may be 2 million if you keep coming. Because that realization makes hope a reality. Because see, it's not like, well, I know I'm not going to make it, or I know he doesn't want to use me. Dude, you're in him. Like, in him. And he's in you. So he's going to get frustrated with you. The only way he gets frustrated with you to the point of kicking you out is if he kicks Jesus out, because you're in Jesus and Jesus is sitting right next to him. Hello? That is very hopeful. Haven't you ever given up on you? If not, why not? Well, what do you mean? Well, I can't make this happen. I can't make this happen. You know what? He doesn't expect me to. He doesn't want me to. He wants me to partner with him. See it happen. I'll close. I know I've told you this story, but it's in me. We had a pretty good, had some pretty good weeks, and had some people get healed pretty dramatically. And another town had a meeting where everybody, it was just amazing. I mean, had a lady with metal in her leg. Her leg had been 5 inches short. It was still 3 inches short, even after the metal put in her leg. And I was doing the Holy Spirit chiropractic on people, you know, and won't work for me. And I said, well, let's give it a shot. And I put her feet in my hands, and all of a sudden she looked at me and she said, there's power in my body. I said, me too. I did. I just looked at her and I said, come, Lord. And she walked out of there without her walker and without her cane and without the lift in her shoe. How do you grow metal? I got no idea. That's way up beyond my pay grade, but I watched it happen. Well, I don't know if she was more surprised than me. No. Stuff had been happening. I was, let's go for this. Let's do it. And it worked. It was very cool. Right after that, guy comes into my office. Says, you don't know me. I'm so-and-so's cousin. Yeah, that's great. And she said, I got stage 4 cancer, but I canceled my surgery because I came here because the Lord told me you're going to heal me. I said, and I said, boy, did you come to the right place, dude? What do you mean? I said, I am batting 1,000%. Really? I said, yeah. I never, ever have healed anybody, and I never, ever will. That was not what he was expecting from me. And I said, but I know the guy who does. Now, we have to operate in that reality. You know what I'm saying? This isn't about you and me, and it's all about you and me at the same time. It's our availability that he uses to make that happen. Well, why doesn't everybody get healed? Listen, I got to quit. We'll talk about that again another day. But the issue is this. Why does anybody get healed? Right? I mean, I had somebody call me a couple weeks ago. I gave a word of knowledge about your upper hip. Strange. And that person, their pain went away. It went away before anybody even prayed for them, just when we spoke it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What did I have to do with that? He told me to write it down. I wrote it down. I read it. That was my involvement in the situation. Now I've been in situations where we fought for people and prayed for a long time, but you know, and that kind of stuff too. You know, but the issue is, it's not why doesn't everybody. It's, man, why does anybody? If anybody does, anybody gets healed, then everybody can. Don't you want to be involved in that? Yeah. So why are we here? He came today to kick hopelessness in the teeth. I think we've spoken enough, sung enough, and talked enough about purpose for hope, because the purpose for hope is our person of hope, and he lives within us. Right? So what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? You're going to let that song of hope sing in your head and tell your heart, sing to your faith, help is on the way. He's coming. Don't quit. Don't give up. What are your choices? Your choices are to don't quit or don't give up. Take your pick. Huh? Yeah. See, well, but you don't know what I'm up against. I don't. But you don't know what I've been up against either. I know that he's in it, and that's what makes the difference. What if the circumstances don't change? Circumstantial evidence you cannot rely on. It's like what I wrote down there. It doesn't have the nutrients in it to keep your faith alive. So, what if circumstances don't change? That means he's changing you.
That's right.
That really sounds trite. Been there, done that. Yeah. Screamed out, louder than Mike screamed out today about freedom. Screamed out to the Lord, why did you leave me in this hole? And he just smiled at me and said, you dug it. He did. I mean, it's as clear as a bell. Not audibly, but I heard it in my heart. And I said, well, get me out of it. And his answer was, can't do that now. But I'll climb in there with you. Just like that. And I just said, you're good. You're good. I had no idea what it meant. And things didn't change immediately, but I did. And they changed eventually. See, he's the God of hope. He's the God of hope. And hope is geared to your future. What we are most afraid of is an unknown future. Whether that's tomorrow or next year or when I retire or if I retire or the presidential election. Listen, he got this one. He has this one. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit to give you joy and peace in believing. And when you're in believing, the Holy Spirit is able to fill you with hope so much that it changes your outlook and your attitude to radiance. What's radiance? Proof that the fire is alive in the fireplace. Why don't we stand? We talked a lot about hope today. The Lord has a lot to say about it because he's a God of hope. And I think it's perfectly fine for you to go back to him and say, Lord, you're the God of hope. Enemy's doing everything he can to encourage me not to have any. I need a fresh dose. He would love to inject you with it. He really would. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the word of God. It's so good that you desire for us to be engaged with the Spirit of God so that we are filled with hope. And you know, when you're filled with something, you just overflow and splash that out on other people. And Lord, I pray that we would be beacons of hope to those around us. Lord, we give you permission in our lives. I keep seeing those balances like this. We want to give you permission in our lives, Lord, to right the bounds. Let hopelessness be kicked out and be filled with hope so our perspective changes. We get to see things like you do. Lord, where prayers are answered, prophecies are fulfilled, plans are completed. Things happen where there's fruit, fruition takes place in the absence of it. And now, fruitful, because it's a different day. It's a different era. Now may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells among us and lives within us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm going to send you home that way. Bless your heart. Thank you.